Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 20th of July, recording at 9:13 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly steady following Wall Street's good gains. Australia, very good, up 1.83%, quite a sharp upward dynamic near an area of previous support. India a little weaker on some disappointing profits from one from the technology sector, and there were a couple of others. Let's see, European stock markets. We saw some strong gains in here, not least from Spain and Italy, both up over 3%. That's interesting, and Gains fairly substantial across the boards. DAX had the smallest gain, up only 0.4%, but the others were considerably stronger. FTSE up over 1.1%. That's the UK. In the Americas, Brazil up slightly, Mexico down over 1%. Canada up slightly. Wall Street closed. It was a quite narrow range trading day and closed with very small losses. The U.S. dollar is a little bit weaker. Long-dated government bond prices, which had rallied sharply yesterday in, I'm talking about the futures now, they'd rallied sharply yesterday but gave back some of those gains today, particularly the bunds ahead of tomorrow's big sort of emergency sovereign debt confab between the ECB and the various ministers, various leading government officials. Let's see, crude oil up over $818 for NYMEX, for Brent rather. Up over 118 for Brent. NYMEX up over 98. In precious metals, well, I mentioned and illustrated that both gold and silver had small downside key day reversals today. They dipped lower in the morning and then rallied very sharply. Silver's back up over 40, gold's back up over $1,600. So we did not get any downside follow through to those keys. That's always important in terms of indicating the short-term trend. And I say a bravura performance here today, although they are both still short-term overbought following the earlier strong gains prior to yesterday's small downside keys. Palladium and platinum were quieter by comparison, but closed on the upper side of their ranges. Grains and beans, mostly a bit firmer. Corn was the exception, a little bit lower, but modest ranging in here today. Cotton steadier following an acceleration down towards the 100, is it cents or dollars? I think it's dollars level. The industrial metals were weaker. It's gotten steadier, but no upward dynamic to date. The industrial metals were weaker with the exception of tin. And small declines, though. And I think that's the main... Actually, coffee is weak among agricultural commodities. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, the technical picture is that we are still within this corrective ranging phase. Most markets locked in trading ranges, in other words. This is also an event-driven environment for the short term. And in Europe, for instance, all eyes, not just Europe, all eyes are on this meeting tomorrow for between the ECB and the finance ministers that I mentioned in my introduction review. And it's the outcome is certainly going to have an impact here. Now, really, we've seen some cessation in the bearish commentary, and we've seen firmer markets, particularly in Spain and Italy, as I mentioned today, which now smacks of short covering here, ahead of the event. There is a risk that this meeting will be resolved and people will say, well, too little, too late, or they haven't done enough. My expectations are muted on this because we have a number of different factions, number of different views. It's hard to get a consensus when you have such a big gathering of people involved. And well, it's the old point about the committee trying to make a horse and makes a camel instead. So I don't know. It would be nice to think that they would come up with some very coherent, credible plan to deal with this current conundrum. And the fact that I describe it as a conundrum says that I think it's just going to be around with this and linger for a long, long time. But is it going to be something that drives the key in the markets? Check it out tomorrow. The key is whether it drives those yields up or down. If the yields go up, then stock markets will be under pressure and the euro will be weak. If yields go down, we'll have the reverse. It's unlikely to be dull. Now, I don't know when the actual meeting actually occurs or whether it concludes after the close and so on, but so we may not see the impact until Friday. I just don't know on that point, but it'll be interesting to see the action on those yields over the next couple of days, and that will be the verdict that counts in the short term, in my opinion. The other event, of course, is the U.S. debt ceiling situation. I think they're inching towards some sort of compromise here, and that really we're not going to see, may go down to the wire before we get an actual decision, but and it may look like a Wisdom of Solomon decision. In other words, brinkmanship, real brinkmanship. Let's see, what else to mention here? Sentiment overall, I think, is inclined to the bearish side. That's probably a contrary indicator. There are plenty of problems, you could almost say, and thus it always was, although some of you will remember those distant days when people talked about Goldilocks and sweet spots and so on for the markets. We're obviously not in one of those. So people are alarmed and worried. I see that in the emails that come in and the reports that come in particular. And we also have some favorable factors. Valuations aren't too bad. GDP growth remains quite firm in the growth economies. We have negative real interest rates in most countries. That means below the prevailing rate of inflation. That's a tailwind for equities. The technical pictures of major markets, not least the USA, the most influential of all in terms of its leash effect, is fairly steady overall. Those June lows remain important. As I have mentioned before, the June reaction lows for stock market indices. Now, some stock market indices, because the outlook's inevitably going to be messy, some stock market indices moved below those. Those are primarily the serial underperformers this year, and those would be from the troubled economies, particularly where sovereign debt is a major issue. Others are doing considerably better, and that includes the USA, as I mentioned before. And I will be relatively sanguine as long as the USA stays above those June and March lows, and they're pretty well at the same level. And they're reasonably comfortably above it at the moment. But we are still in these choppy ranges overall. And it's a time for caution. I don't think that means slashing positions. But equally, I wouldn't be piling a lot of cash into the market at this stage. Masterful inactivity might be the strategy to espouse from an investment perspective. I think equities are infinitely more attractive than bonds. I've said that for a long time. I think that will remain the case. And for those who wish to or have to invest in bonds, I would much prefer bonds for a really good big cap global player with a strong balance sheet. In other words, I would prefer bonds of strong companies rather than weak governments. Commodities, this is a negative overall for stock markets. This is a headwind because the price of crude oil is too high, and Brent is much more reflective of at 118 is of oil prices around the world. And we still have a food price inflation. The growth economies, which have been tightening interest rates, I think they keep hoping that they're near the end, or at the end rather, of this tightening period, but they don't know in the sense that a lot depends on what actually happens to those commodity prices, because food price inflation has been a big factor in both India and China. And domestic crop yields in those countries will be a hugely important factor. I mean, in China, an improvement in the size of hog herds is the most important variable here. Overall, they're trying to increase that. So there are a lot of domestic issues which will be major factors here, but crude oil, that's an international factor, and we know that's not looking so good, and crude oil is the most important commodity overall. Not looking so good in the sense that it's an uncomfortably high level. It's not at a brutally high level, to put it in one of the proper perspective, I trust. Gold and silver. I mentioned in my review that this is, I described it as a bravura performance here, and by silver and gold, but they are both still overbought, to repeat that point. Don't be surprised if we get a little bit of choppy action overall. This is still a period of seasonal ranging and underperformance, but everybody who's interested in this market knows that the clock is ticking here. We're approaching a period of seasonal outperformance. They are still comfortably to the left, those two, of their rising 200-day moving averages. And it's not hard to make a case for the strong interest that we see in these two commodities. And I feel a little uncomfortable having closed out my silver positions and my palladium position yesterday. I feel a little uncomfortable here being on the sidelines. But there probably are other people also who wish to buy on a pullback. And if lots of people want to buy on a pullback, well, you don't get much of a pullback, do you? So I think, but overall, if we're going to get the type of autumn and first quarter, excuse me, of 2012, if we're going to get the type of performance in an odd-numbered year, and don't ask me to explain why it's the odd-numbered years that have performed so well, but we've seen it really starting with 2001 and right through 2009, and here we are with firm patterns in 2011, moving towards that seasonally positive period. But if that consistency pattern continues, and I don't know if it will continue or not, it's impossible to know that, but it looks the technical build up to that period looks favorable. And I don't see a reason why it shouldn't continue at this stage. It's not apparent to me what that would be. Then we're really looking for the possibility of $300 or $400 to the upside for gold over the next 6 to 9 months. And you say that's about average for these odd number years following the September breakouts. Now, we'll see. And the chart action will be crucial overall. So while I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable not being long, again, I know that we are at a short-term overbought and that this market may still range a bit longer. And if not, if I have to just pay up, well, I will come the autumn period because I'm not going to be sort of panicked into the market here in the short term. But I am a interested buyer on dips. We had a reasonable dip this morning, but I was away from the office, and I probably wouldn't have away from my computers, but I probably wouldn't have bought in any event, and I didn't have an order in the market. So there we are. That's apologies for talking too much about my own position there, but I'm just trying to outline my thoughts on precious metals and tactics here as much as possible. In terms of overall investment positions, I'll stick with a masterful inactivity here that I mentioned for the time being. And I'm the sort of person who wants to buy when markets look panicky, and I should sell and build cash when markets are accelerating higher. And on that note, folks, all the best.